God's Powerful Savior. Selected passages from the writings of Luke in the New Testament of the Bible. The account of those who were there with Jesus nearly 2,000 years ago. They saw and heard what Jesus said and did. They were there when Jesus died on the cross for our sins and came out of the grave alive, having defeated the power of sin and death to bring us God's salvation. Hear now the words of Jesus himself as he announced the purpose of his ministry.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, and announce that the time has come when the Lord will save his people.
We now begin the sequence of events as written by Luke.
At that time, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. So John went throughout the whole territory of the Jordan River, preaching, "Turn away from your sins and be baptized, and God will forgive your sins. As it is written in the book of the prophet Isaiah, someone is shouting in the desert, 'Get the road ready for the Lord. Make a straight path for him to travel. Every valley must be filled up, every hill and mountain leveled off. The winding roads must be made straight, and the rough paths made smooth. The whole human race will see God's salvation.'" People's hopes began to rise, and they began to wonder whether John perhaps might be the Messiah. So John said to all of them, "I baptize you with water, but someone is coming who is much greater than I am. I am not good enough even to untie his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." After all the people had been baptized, Jesus also was baptized. While he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit came down upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my own dear son. I am pleased with you." When Jesus began his work, he was about 30 years old. Jesus returned from the Jordan full of the Holy Spirit, and was led by the Spirit into the desert, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. In all that time he ate nothing, so that he was hungry when it was over. The devil said to him, "If you are God's son, order this stone to turn into bread." But Jesus answered, "The Scripture says, 'Human beings cannot live on bread alone.'" Then the devil took him up and showed him in a second all the kingdoms of the world. "I will give you all this power and all this wealth," the devil told him. "It has all been handed over to me, and I can give it to anyone I choose. All this will be yours, then, if you worship me." Jesus answered, "The Scripture says, 'Worship the Lord your God, and serve only him.'" Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, and set him on the highest point of the temple, and said to him, "If you are God's son, throw yourself down from here. For the Scripture says, 'God will order his angels to take good care of you.' It also says, 'They will hold you up with their hands, so that not even your feet will be hurt on the stones.'" But Jesus answered, "The Scripture says, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil finished tempting Jesus in every way, he left him for a while. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, and the power of the Holy Spirit was with him. The news about him spread throughout all that territory. He taught in the synagogues and was praised by everyone. Then Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath he went as usual to the synagogue. He stood up to read the scriptures, and was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has chosen me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, and announce that the time has come when the Lord will save his people." Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. All the people in the synagogue had their eyes fixed on him, as he said to them, "This passage of Scripture has come true today, as you heard it being read." One day, when Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there who had come from every town in Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. The power of the Lord was present for Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a bed, and they tried to carry him into the house and put him in front of Jesus. Because of the crowd, however, they could find no way to take him in, so they carried him up on the roof, made an opening in the tiles, and let him down on his bed into the middle of the group in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw how much faith they had, he said to the man, "Your sins are forgiven, my friend." The teachers of the law and the Pharisees began to say to themselves, "Who is this man who speaks such blasphemy? God is the only one who can forgive sins." Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Why do you think such things? Is it easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? I will prove to you then that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, pick up your bed, and go home." At once the man got up in front of them all, took the bed he had been lying on, and went home praising God. They were all completely amazed. Full of fear, they praised God, saying, "What marvelous things we have seen today!" At that time Jesus went up a hill to pray, and spent the whole night there praying to God. When day came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon who was called the Patriot, Judas son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became the traitor. When Jesus had come down from the hill with the apostles, he stood on a level place with a large number of his disciples. A large crowd of people was there from all over Judea and from Jerusalem, from the coast cities of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those who were troubled by evil spirits also came and were healed. All the people tried to touch him, for power was going out from him and healing them all. People kept coming to Jesus from one town after another, and when a great crowd gathered, Jesus told this parable. Once there was a man who went out to sow grain. As he scattered the seed in the field, some of it fell along the path, where it was stepped on and the birds ate it up. Some of it fell on rocky ground, and when the plants sprouted, they dried up because the soil had no moisture. Some of the seed fell among thorn bushes, which grew up with the plants and choked them. And some seeds fell in good soil. The plants grew and bore grain, 100 grains each. And Jesus concluded, "Listen then, if you have ears." His disciples asked Jesus what this parable meant, and he answered, The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to the rest it comes by means of parables, so that they may look but not see, and listen but not understand. This is what the parable means. The seed is the word of God. The seeds that fell along the path stand for those who hear, but the devil comes and takes the message away from their hearts in order to keep them from believing and being saved. The seeds that fell on rocky ground stand for those who hear the message and receive it gladly. But it does not sink deep into them. They believe only for a while, but when the time of testing comes, they fall away. The seeds that fell among thorn bushes stand for those who hear, but the worries and riches and pleasures of this life crowd in and choke them, and their fruit never ripens. The seeds that fell in good soil stand for those who hear the message and retain it in a good and obedient heart, and they persist until they bear fruit. One day Jesus got into a boat with his disciples and said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they started out. As they were sailing, Jesus fell asleep. Suddenly a strong wind blew down on the lake, and the boat began to fill with water, so that they were all in great danger. The disciples went to Jesus and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we are about to die." Jesus got up and gave an order to the wind and to the stormy water. They quieted down, and there was a great calm. Then he said to the disciples, "Where is your faith?" But they were amazed and afraid and said to one another, "Who is this man? He gives orders to the winds and waves, and they obey him." One day when Jesus was praying alone, the disciples came to him. "Who do the crowd say I am?" he asked them. "Some say that you are John the Baptist," they answered. "Others say that you are Elijah, while others say that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." "What about you?" he asked them. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are God's Messiah." Then Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell this to anyone. He also told them, "The Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. He will be put to death, but 3 days later he will be raised to life." And he said to them all, "If you want to come with me, you must forget yourself, take up your cross every day, and follow me. For if you want to save your own life, you will lose it, but if you lose your life for my sake, you will save it. Will you gain anything if you win the whole world, but are yourself lost or defeated? Of course not. If you are ashamed of me and of my teaching, then the Son of Man will be ashamed of you when he comes in his glory, and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." About a week after he had said these things, Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him and went up a hill to pray. While he was praying, his face changed its appearance, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly two men were there talking with him. They were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in heavenly glory and talked with Jesus about the way in which he would soon fulfill God's purpose by dying in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were sound asleep, but they woke up and saw Jesus' glory and the two men who were standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, how good it is that we are here. We will make 3 tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not really know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them with its shadow, and the disciples were afraid as the cloud came over them. A voice said from the cloud, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice stopped, there was Jesus all alone. The disciples kept quiet about all this and told no one at that time anything they had seen. One day, when many tax collectors and other outcasts came to listen to Jesus, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law started grumbling. "This man welcomes outcasts and even eats with them." So Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. What do? You leave the other 99 sheep in the pasture and go looking for the one that got lost until you find it. When you find it, you are so happy that you put it on your shoulders and carry it back home. Then you call your friends and neighbors together and say to them, "I am so happy I found my lost sheep. Let us celebrate." In the same way, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 respectable people who do not need to repent. Jesus took the 12 disciples aside and said to them, "Listen, we are going to Jerusalem, where everything the prophets wrote about the Son of Man will come true. He will be handed over to the Gentiles, who will make fun of him, insult him, and spit on him. They will whip him and kill him. But 3 days later he will rise to life." But the disciples did not understand any of these things. The meaning of the words was hidden from them, and they did not know what Jesus was talking about. As he came near Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 disciples ahead with these instructions: "Go to the village there ahead of you. As you go in, you will find a colt tied up that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If someone asks you why you are untying it, tell him that the master needs it." They went on their way and found everything just as Jesus had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, "Why are you untying it?" "The master needs it," they answered, and they took the colt to Jesus. Then they threw their cloaks over the animal and helped Jesus get on. As he rode on, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near Jerusalem, at the place where the road went down the Mount of Olives, the large crowd of his disciples began to thank God and praise him in loud voices for all the great things that they had seen. "God bless the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to God." Then some of the Pharisees in the crowd spoke to Jesus. "Teacher," they said, "command your disciples to be quiet." Jesus answered, "I tell you that if they keep quiet, the stones themselves will start shouting." He came closer to the city, and when he saw it, he wept over it, saying, "If you only knew today what is needed for peace, but now you cannot see it. The time will come when your enemies will surround you with barricades, blockade you, and close in on you from every side. They will completely destroy you and the people within your walls. Not a single stone will they leave in its place, because you did not recognize the time when God came to save you." Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out the merchants, saying to them, "It is written in the scriptures that God said, 'My temple will be a house of prayer,' but you have turned it into a hideout for thieves." Every day Jesus taught in the temple. The chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the leaders of the people wanted to kill him, but they could not find a way to do it, because all the people kept listening to him, not wanting to miss a single word.
Please turn the cassette over and continue on side B.
The time was near for the festival of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were afraid of the people, and so they were trying to find a way of putting Jesus to death secretly. Then Satan entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was one of the 12 disciples. So Judas went off and spoke with the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard about how he could betray Jesus to them. They were pleased and offered to pay him money. Judas agreed to it and started looking for a good chance to hand Jesus over to them without the people knowing about it. Jesus left the city and went, as he usually did, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples went with him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." Then he went off from them about the distance of a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed. "Father," he said, "if you will, take this cup of suffering away from me. Not my will, however, but your will be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. In great anguish he prayed even more fervently. His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Rising from his prayer, he went back to the disciples and found them asleep, worn out by their grief. He said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you will not fall into temptation." Jesus was still speaking when a crowd arrived, led by Judas, one of the 12 disciples. He came up to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said, "Judas, is it with a kiss that you betray the Son of Man?" When the disciples who were with Jesus saw what was going to happen, they asked, "Shall we use our swords, Lord?" And one of them struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "Enough of this." He touched the man's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and the elders who had come there to get him, "Did you have to come with swords and clubs, as though I were an outlaw? I was with you in the temple every day, and you did not try to arrest me. But this is your hour to act, when the power of darkness rules." They arrested Jesus and took him away into the house of the high priest. The men who were guarding Jesus made fun of him and beat him. They blindfolded him and asked him, "Who hit you? Guess!" And they said many other insulting things to him. When day came, the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law met together, and Jesus was brought before the council. "Tell us," they said, "are you the Messiah?" He answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I ask you a question, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right side of Almighty God." They all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" He answered them, "You say that I am." And they said, "We don't need any witnesses. We ourselves have heard what he said." The whole group rose up and took Jesus before Pilate, where they began to accuse him. "We caught this man misleading our people, telling them not to pay taxes to the emperor, and claiming that he himself is the Messiah, a king." Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "So you say," answered Jesus. Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no reason to condemn this man." But they insisted even more strongly. "With his teaching he is starting a riot among the people all through Judea. He began in Galilee and now has come here." When Pilate heard this, he asked, "Is this man a Galilean?" When he learned that Jesus was from the region ruled by Herod, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Herod was very pleased when he saw Jesus, because he had heard about him and had been wanting to see him for a long time. He was hoping to see Jesus perform some miracle. So Herod asked Jesus many questions, but Jesus made no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law stepped forward and made strong accusations against Jesus. Herod and his soldiers made fun of Jesus and treated him with contempt. Then they put a fine robe on him and sent him back to Pilate. On that very day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You brought this man to me and said that he was misleading the people. Now, I have examined him here in your presence, and I have not found him guilty of any of the crimes you accuse him of. Nor did Herod find him guilty, for he sent him back to us. There is nothing this man has done to deserve death. So I will have him whipped and let him go." The whole crowd cried out, "Kill him! Set Barabbas free for us!" Barabbas had been put in prison for a riot that had taken place in the city, and for murder. Pilate wanted to set Jesus free, so he appealed to the crowd again, but they shouted back, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them the third time, "But what crime has he committed? I cannot find anything he has done to deserve death. I will have him whipped and set him free." But they kept on shouting at the top of their voices that Jesus should be crucified, and finally their shouting succeeded. So Pilate passed the sentence on Jesus that they were asking for. He set free the man they wanted, the one who had been put in prison for riot and murder, and he handed Jesus over for them to do as they wished. Two other men, both of them criminals, were also led out to be put to death with Jesus. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there, and the two criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they are doing." They divided his clothes among themselves by throwing dice. The people stood there watching while the Jewish leaders made fun of him. "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah whom God has chosen." The soldiers also made fun of him. They came up to him and offered him cheap wine and said, "Save yourself if you are the King of the Jews." Above him were written these words, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." The other one, however, rebuked him, saying, "Don't you fear God? You received the same sentence he did. Ours, however, is only right because we are getting what we deserve for what we did. But he has done no wrong." And he said to Jesus, "Remember me, Jesus, when you come as king." Jesus said to him, "I promise you that today you will be in paradise with me." It was about 12 o'clock when the sun stopped shining and darkness covered the whole country until 3 o'clock, and the curtain hanging in the temple was torn in two. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, in your hands I place my spirit." He said this and died. The army officer saw what had happened, and he praised God, saying, "Certainly he was a good man." When the people who had gathered there to watch the spectacle saw what had happened, they all went back home, beating their breasts in sorrow. All those who knew Jesus personally, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance to watch. There was a man named Joseph from Arimathea, a town in Judea. He was a good and honorable man who was waiting for the coming of the kingdom of God. Although he was a member of the council, he had not agreed with their decision and action. He went into the presence of Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took the body down, wrapped it in a linen sheet, and placed it in a tomb which had been dug out of solid rock and which had never been used. It was Friday, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had followed Jesus from Galilee went with Joseph and saw the tomb and how Jesus' body was placed in it. Then they went back home and prepared the spices and perfumes for the body. On the Sabbath, they rested as the law commanded. Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb carrying the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the entrance to the tomb. So they went in, but they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They stood there puzzled about this, when suddenly two men in bright, shining clothes stood by them. Full of fear, the women bowed down to the ground, as the men said to them, "Why are you looking among the dead for one who is alive? He is not here. He has been raised. Remember what he said to you while he was in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and 3 days later rise to life.'" Then the women remembered his words, returned from the tomb, and told all these things to the 11 disciples and all the rest. The women were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James. They and the other women with them told these things to the apostles. But the apostles thought that what the women said was nonsense, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. He bent down and saw the grave clothes, but nothing else. Then he went back home, amazed at what had happened. For 40 days after his death, he appeared to them many times, in ways that proved beyond doubt that he was alive. They saw him, and he talked with them about the kingdom of God. And when they came together, he gave them this order: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift I told you about, the gift my Father promised. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." When the apostles met together with Jesus, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time give the kingdom back to Israel?" Jesus said to them, "The times and occasions are set by my Father's own authority, and it is not for you to know when they will be. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up to heaven as they watched him, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They still had their eyes fixed on the sky as he went away, when two men dressed in white suddenly stood beside them and said, "Galileans, why are you standing there looking up at the sky? This Jesus, who was taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way that you saw him go to heaven."
When the promised Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, they began fearlessly to proclaim the meaning of Jesus' death and resurrection. Listen to part of what Peter said at that time.
"All the people of Israel, then, are to know for sure that this Jesus whom you crucified is the one that God has made Lord and Messiah." When the people heard this, they were deeply troubled and said to Peter and the other apostles, "What shall we do, brothers?" Peter said to them, "Each one of you must turn away from your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ so that your sins will be forgiven, and you will receive God's gift, the Holy Spirit, for God's promise was made to you and your children, and to all who are far away, all whom the Lord our God calls to himself.
Luke tells us about many other exciting and important things that Jesus said and did, but the cassette limits what we can include. These passages were selected to show us how Jesus has power over Satan, sin, and death. In the Gospel written by John in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, the significance of what God did through this Jesus about whom Luke tells us is summarized in these momentous words.
For God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its Savior.
In another New Testament book, Paul's letter to the church in Rome, we are told how we may be saved and put right with God by committing ourselves to Jesus Christ, God's powerful Savior.
If you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from death, you will be saved. For it is by our faith that we are put right with God. It is by our confession that we are saved.